We're on Nunhamid Aleph, 21 lines down, beginning the new Mishnah. Having mentioned in the previous Mishnah that the amount that constitutes onah, the level of illegal price fraud, where the defrauded party would have a right to demand a refund, and the Mishnah back on Mem Tesmid Beis defined the level of onah in terms of the ma coin, that's a silver coin. Our Mishnah will mention a different halacha that depends on a certain number of ma coins. And then the Mishnah will give us a list of halachas that depend on a minimum amount of a pruta, that's like the smallest coin, a copper, very low value coin. So the Mishnah begins, Ha'onah arba kesef. As stated in the previous Mishnah, the amount of price fraud that constitutes onah is 4 silver ma' coins out of 24 silver ma'os. In other words, 1/6. That was the majority opinion that we learned on Mem Tesmid Beis. Says the Mishnah, there's another area in halacha whose minimum depends on ma' coins. Namely, v'hataina shtei kesef. Regarding the oath of modem miktsas, as the Torah says, that if somebody partially denies a monetary claim, now lachas he has to swear about the part that he's denying, says our Mishnah, that shvuah only applies if the total worth of the asset in question that they're disputing is worth 2 ma'os. And v'hodah shava pruta. And in order for this oath to apply, the defendant would have to admit to owing at least a pruta's amount of the claim. Otherwise, the oath would not apply. And Rashi also mentions that the oath of modem miktsas only applies if the denial also involves at least a pruta's amount. So now the Mishnah presents, having mentioned the halacha that whose minimum depends on the pruta, says the Mishnah, Chamesh Prutas Hain. The following 5 halachas have a minimum of a shava pruta for the halacha to apply. Number 1, the halacha we just said, Ahodah shava pruta. The Torah only says that the defendant has to swear regarding the amount he's denying if he admits to owing at least the pruta. Number 2, V'ayisha miskadeshes b'shava pruta. As we learned in Kedushin, one way to affect the halachic acquisition of marriage is through kesef. The man gives a woman something of value and says, Areya mugudeshes li b'kesef zu. And if she accepts, then she is married to him. She is his ashes ish. Our Mishnah explains, as we learn in Kedushin, according to Beis Hillel, which is the halacha, that one can only do a kinyan of kesef by Kedushin if he gives her something that's worth at least a pruta. Otherwise, the Kedushin doesn't work. Number 3, the Mishnah says, V'hanene b'shava pruta mina hegdesh ma'al. If somebody benefits from something that's property of the Beis HaMikdash, it's hegdesh, and he benefits in the amount of a pruta, then ma'al. Then it's a halach of me'ila, in which case the Torah says he has to, of course, pay back the principal, and he has to add a fifth, and he has to bring a karban ashim. That whole halach of me'il only applies if the hana was at least worth a pruta. Number 4, the Mishnah says, halach is v'amotze shava pruta chayv lahachriz. If somebody finds a lost object that is worth a pruta, then he is obligated to announce it to try and find the owner and return the aveda to him, assuming it has a simen. You know, the owner didn't give up hope already. He has an obligation of hashavas aveda. That's only if the aveda in question is worth at least a pruta. If not, there's no obligation of Hashavas Aveda, as the Gemara derived from the Pasuk earlier on Chaf Zayin Amid Aleph. And lastly, number 5, the Mishnah says, the halacha is v'agozel es chaveiro shava pruta. Somebody stole from his friend, and he stole at least pruta's worth, v'nish balo. And then he swore falsely about the theft. He said, no, I never stole from you. He took a shvua, and later he admitted. In which case, the Torah says that in addition to the obligation to pay back the principal, he has to pay a fifth and bring a carbon, Hashem Gzelos. As we learned about in Baba Kama, in order to achieve that atonement, it's absolutely necessary for the Gazlan to get the principal back to the victim, no matter what it takes. So even if the victim is on the other side of the world, and must go after him, he has to get that stolen property back to him, even if it means traveling all the way to Madai. This whole halacha as well only applies if you're talking about a case where he stole at least a pruta. The Gemara begins by wondering why our Mishnah had to repeat the halacha that now is defined as 4 out of 24 mos. Gemara asks, Tanina Chadet Zimna, we learned this already. In the previous Mishnah, it's taught us, so no, Arba Kesef Mesim, Arba Kesef Lesela, Shesus Lemekach. Our Mishnah explained that the definition of Onah, this middle level of price fraud, where the defrauded party has a right to demand a refund, would be 4 out of 24 Ma, in other words, 6th of the Mekach of the purchase. So why does our Mishnah need to say this halacha all over again? The Gemara answers, it only said it to introduce the following halacha. The next halacha Mishnah states, of Hataina, it needed, the case of Anah, as an introduction to another area of halacha where it depends on a certain number of ma coins, namely the oath by Modeh B'Miktzas. Our Mishnah taught us that only applies if the disputed asset is worth at least 2 ma. The Gemara says, problem is, Hanami Tanina, that halacha also was already taught in the Mishnah Masechta Shavuos. Mishnah there says, Shavuos Adayanin, the oath of the judges, meaning the oath that the Chumash discusses in the case where somebody partially admits, when does that oath apply? Only if Hataina Shtei Kesev Ha'odah Shava Pruta. So the Mishnah there already provided this information, and therefore you're telling me the reason we repeated the Onas for this halacha, but that halacha was also already taught in the Mishnah. The Gemara answers, you're right, the second halacha in the Mishnah is also already known. So why is the Mishnah mentioning these two halachas? Seifet Shrichalei, Diktani Chamesh Prutos Hain. The real purpose of the Mishnah is to bring this list of Chamesh Prutos Hain, these 5 cases, which only apply if it involves at least the Prutos amount. In order to introduce that list, the Mishnah first repeats the halacha by Onah, which is an amount that depends on a certain number of Ma coins, which is related to the halacha of Modeh B'Miktzas, which also depends on a certain number of Ma coins. And this other case of Modeh B'Miktzas also depends on a Shava Pruta. The admission and denial have to be about at least a Shava Pruta. And that introduces the list of Chamesh Prutos Hain. That's the flow of our Mishnah. And it's, you know, derech of the Mishnah to try and, you know, connect each halacha is talking about to the previous one, thus facilitating memorization. So now let's look at the list, the Chamesh Prutos Hain. The Gemara first notes that there seems to be a case that's missing from the list. That is, Milisni Nami Ha'onah Pruta. The Mishnah seems to have failed to mention another example where there's a minimum of a Pruta, which involves, you know, the main topic of the parak right now, the halacha of Onah, where the halacha is, unless the price fraud in question involves at least a Pruta's worth, there will not be a halacha of Onah. So why didn't that case make it to the list? The Gemara answers, Amar Rav Kahana. Kahana says, Zosomeres, this is saying, we learn from this, from the fact that Mishnah didn't mention the case of Onah, must be, because Ein Onah Leprutos, the halacha is, even if the price fraud in question involved one pruta, like for example, the merchandise was really worth 6 prutos and he overcharged by a pruta, says Rav Kahana, we see from the Mishnah, that in that case, there is no halacha of Onah. And the buyer cannot sue, he can't demand a refund, because the required minimum by Onah is not a pruta, rather. It only starts to be a case of Onah if the base amount, you know, the actual worth of the merchandise, is the lowest denomination of silver coin, and that is the Isser coin, which equals 8 prutos. So in short, Rav Kahana is saying that really the halachas of Onah do not begin until the amount of price fraud in question is 6 of the Isser coin, or 1 1/3 of a pruta. And therefore, our Mishnah doesn't include Onah as a case where the minimum is just 1 pruta. But the Gemara brings an Amara that argues with this, V'Levi Amar. Levi said that really, Yesh Onah Leprutos, really the halachas of Onah apply even if you're talking in terms of prutos. As even, let's say, if the real value of the merchandise was 6 prutos and you were charged 1 pruta, the halachas of Onah would apply. The Gemara says, V'chein Tani Levi Masnise, and so Levi taught in his Braiso. Levi had a collection of his own Braisos, like he was in charge of, he edited these Braisos, and in Levi's Braiso it says the following, Chamesh Prutos Hain, his list of Chamesh Prutos reads as follows. Number 1, Ha'onah Pruta. The first case on Levi's list is Halacha of Onah. The halacha is, if the overcharge was at least a pruta, then the halachas of Onah apply. And the rest of Levi's list is, V'hodah pruta, Again, in order for the oath of Moda B'Mikzes to apply, the admission has to be about at least a pruta, the kedusha isha b'pruta, and by kedushin, by marriage, to do kesef kedushin has to be at least a pruta v'gezel p'pruta, and the requirement for the thief who stole and swore falsely and admits he wants a kapar, is to chase after him to Madan, and applies if it's worth at least a pruta. And finally, number 5 on Levi's list is v'yeshivas hadayanin b'pruta. The court only must convene for cases that involve at least a pruta's amount. So that if, let's say, a plaintiff has witnesses or the defendant has admitted that he owes a pruta, Bezdin will convene for that case and force the defendant to pay. But if you're talking about a case that involves less than a pruta, then there's no yeshiva sadayanin that does not force a court case. So clearly we have several discrepancies between the Mishnah's list and Levi's list. So the Gemara first asks, Vitana didan, my time alone. Notably absent from our Mishnah's list is this halacha that Levi mentioned at the end of his list, that a court only must convene for cases involving at least a pruta. Why isn't that case on our Mishnah's list? The Gemara answers, Tana le gezel. Since our Tana of our Mishnah already had on its list the case of gezel, that again, the thief only has to chase after the victim to Madai to return the gzela if he stole at least a pruta. So that shows us that halachically, it's not considered money unless it's worth at least a pruta. So from that halacha, I can logically deduce the same regarding yeshiva zadayanin, that the court will not convene unless you're talking about a case that involves money. Less than a pruta is not money. So therefore, Atana felt it wasn't necessary to separately discuss this halacha of yeshiva zadayanin. But the Gemara questions this. For the Gemara points out, Umi lo tani gezel uketani aveda. You're saying that if you're able to extrapolate one halacha from the other, then it won't list both, but did the Mishnah not list the case of gezel, and then it separately taught the case of aveda, that a shavas aveda only applies if the lost property was worth at least a pruta. Why do you need that case? Once you told me that gezel only applies, the gezel only has to go and return it all the way until madai if it's worth at least a pruta, which again tells us that less than a pruta is not considered money. So then logically I can apply that to aveda. If I find something that's worth less than a pruta, there's no obligation to return it because it's not considered money. And yet the Mishnah listed both cases. So this calls into question your proposal that if you're able to logically extrapolate one from the other, it doesn't need to list both cases. No, we see it's listing all the cases. So why didn't it also list yeshiva sadayanin? The Gemara says no. You really were right that the Tana does not have to list every case if it can be logically deduced from one already listed. Gezel and Aveda. So the Gemara explains, Hanech Itzrich Alei. Gezel and Aveda were actually both needed. If it only said one, you wouldn't necessarily know the other. As the Gemara explains, for if let's say the Mishnah only taught the halacha of Shavu Pruta by Aveda, that if it's less than a Pruta, you don't have to return, but if it is a Pruta, you do have to return. There's still a point I wouldn't necessarily know by Gezel, namely the fact that Hagozo Mechavero Shava Pruta, if somebody did steal a Pruta's worth from his friend, Vinish Balo, and then swore falsely about it, and Yolichena Achrava Filu Lamadai, and Halacha says he can't achieve atonement until he gets the principal back to him, even if it means going after him to Madai. That point you don't see from Aveda. And the Gemara explains, if the Mishnah only taught this case of Gezel, then I wouldn't have known everything by Aveda. Specifically, I would not have known that, you know, less than a pruta, you're not obligated, but when you do find the pruta, our Mishnah wants to teach us that you are obligated to return it no matter what, meaning I must say aveda shava pruta. If it was found was worth a pruta, nalacha is chayv lahachriz, he must announce it, he must return it by afal gav dezol. Even if subsequent to his having found this aveda, it went down in value to less than a pruta, nonetheless, he has to return it since at the time he picked it up, it was worth a pruta. So that specific point I wouldn't have known from Gezel. That's why the Mishnah listed both of those cases. However, the halacha of yeshiva sadayanin, the fact that the court only convenes for a case with at least a pruta, that halacha is obvious from the case, let's say, of Gezel. Gezel already teaches me that less than a pruta is not considered money in halacha. So therefore, the Mishnah didn't have to include the case of yeshiva sadayanin. The Gemara now questions Vilevi, my taima lotani aveda bepruta. Why didn't Levi include the case of aveda on his list? That you're not chayav to return it if it's worth less than a pruta. The Gemara answers, Tana Le Gezel. Levi would say that we don't need to explicitly teach the case of Aveda because we already taught that by Gezel, by theft, you only have to return it to Madai if it's worth at least a pruta. And logically, we can apply that to Aveda, and apparently it wasn't on Levi's agenda to teach this specific point about that you have to announce it even if it went down in value later. The basic point is already clear from Gezel, so that's why he didn't need a Veda. But the Gemara says, what do you mean? Milo Ketani Gezel V'Ketani Yeshiva Sad Dayanin? You're telling me that Levi doesn't list another case if it can be inferred from another, but he listed both the case of Gezel and the case of Yeshiva Sad Dayanin, and the court doesn't convene unless the case involves a Pruta, which seemingly is obvious from the Halach of Gezel, which already makes the point that if it's worth less than a pruta, it's not considered money. The Gemara answers, Yeshiva Sadayanin, it's Trichalei. In fact, Levi needed to specifically teach the case of Yeshiva Sadayanin. Lafuke midrav Kitina. The Rav Kitina tell us not to say like Rav Kitina, who said, Bezdin is kakin afilu lepachos mishave pruta. Kitina says, even if the case involves something worth less than a pruta, still the court convenes. We'll see more about what exactly is saying, but the point is, since there's an opinion out there who disagrees, he says, even though, you know, normally less than a pruta is not considered money, nevertheless the court will convene even for a claim worth less than a pruta. So therefore Levi wanted to specifically say, no, that's not the halacha, and if the claim is worth less than a pruta, the court does not convene. The Gemara now asks, V'Levi, my time alokitani hegdish. Why didn't Levi teach the case of Hegdish, the halacha that our Mishnah taught, that the law of Me'ila only applies if somebody misappropriated Hegdish property, you know, property of the base of Migdash, worth at least a pruta. He had to have benefited by at least a pruta, then it's a halacha of Me'ila, and he has to, you know, pay back, plus a fifth, plus a carbon. So why didn't Levi include that halacha on the list of pruta cases? The Gemara answers, B'chulin k'mayri b'kachim lo k'mayri. Levi's list only includes halachas that involve regular non-holy property, not a case of Hegdish, it's consecrated property. Those kind of cases are not on Levi's list. And now the Gemara wonders, Elatana didan the Kamayri b'kachim. But now let's ask, our Tana, who clearly is including even cases of kachim, you know, consecrated property, the question is, Nisni Meiser Bipruta. Why then didn't Artana add to its list another halacha that depends on a minimum of a pruta, namely the halacha that you can't redeem Meiser Sheni crops unless they're worth at least a pruta? Why wasn't that on the list? The Gemara answers, Kimandi Amar in Bechum Shu Pruta. Our Mishnah holds like the opinion, and this was the position we saw in the Gimelim and Beza Ravasi and Reish Lakish, that that's not the halacha. Meaning, this position says that even if the Meiser Sheni crops in question are worth the pruta, that's still not good enough. And in fact, you're not able to redeem Meiser Sheni crops unless they're worth at least four prutos, such that the chomish amount, the 25%, which becomes a fifth in the new total, will be one pruta. So that's why the Mishnah doesn't say that you can only redeem Meiser Sheni if it's a pruta, because it's not true. Even if it's a pruta, it's still not good enough. And the Gemara says, okay, fine. You're telling me that our Mishnah holds that the principle must be worth more than a pruta, but vilisni chomesh Meiser bepruta. There still seems to be a pruta minimum halacha to teach regarding Meiser Sheni, namely, that, you know, what does this position say? That the chomesh amount, the surcharge amount that you add, must end up being a pruta. So that's still a halacha that has a pruta minimum, so why wasn't that halacha on the list? The Gemara answer is, b'karna k'mayri b'chomesh lo k'mayri. Our Mishnah only wants to discuss halachas where the principal amount of the halacha depends on a minimum of a pruta, as opposed to where the chomesh, the extra additional surcharge, depends on a pruta. The Mishnah doesn't want to discuss such cases with its list. The Gemara now comes back to the opinion of Rav Kitina that was mentioned earlier, Gufa. Text itself said like this, Amar Rav Kitina. Rav Kitina said, Bezdin nizkakin afilu lepachos mishave pruta. Court does convene even if the case involves less than a pruta. The Gemara questions Rav Kitina, Masiv Rava. Rava asks from the following brisa. The brisa quotes the pasuk by the law of Me'ila, Again, Tara says, if you misappropriate Hegdish property, then it's an Isser of Me'ilah. You have to pay the principal and a fifth and bring a carbon. Says the Pasuk, Ve'es asher chata min ha-kodesh yishalem. For what he stole from Kodesh, from the Beis HaMikdash, he shall pay. Turning to Amid Beis, Raisa says, from the word Ve'es, we darshan, it's coming l'rabos pachos mishav pruta lihishavam. Tara comes to include a case where somebody misappropriated even less than a pruta, he still has to pay that back. That means he pays back the principal, not the fifth of the carbon though. But the point for our discussion from this b'raisa is, the b'raisa indicates that there's a special exception by Kodesh, when somebody steals from the Beis HaMikdash, which indicates l'kodesh in. By Kodesh, by the laws of Me'ila, yes, he could be chayiv even for less than a pruta. Avale hedyot lo. But by a commoner, that's when you're dealing with laws between a man and his friend, we would not include a case where it involves less than a pruta, which indicates not like of Katina. Katina suggests that even if somebody has a claim against his friend of less than a pruta, the court would convene. This b'raisa indicates not so. So because of this question, the Gemara modifies our understanding of Rav Katina. Says the Gemara now, Ela itmar hachi itmar. If Rav Katina said anything on this issue, this is what he really must have said. Amr of Katina, said, Im huskuku bezdin l'shove pruta. If the court has already convened to deal with the case between, let's say, Reuven and Shimon, Reuven claims something worth at least a pruta from Shimon, gomrin afilu l'pachos mishove pruta. We would continue, we'd complete that convention of the court. If Reuven has an additional claim of even less than a pruta, if he submits another claim, once we have the case for the pruta, we'll also address that claim that even though it's worth less than a pruta. In other words, tchilas hadin bayin a pruta. To start a court case, we require at least a pruta, gemar din lo bayin a pruta. But to reach a verdict for additional claims, once the court has convened, we don't require that claim to be worth a pruta. And we discussed extensively the halach of chomesh, and we primarily discussed that in the context of redeeming Meister Sheni crops. This next Mishnah gives a more comprehensive list of all the different chumshin, extra surcharge, one-fifth payments that we find throughout the Torah. So the Mishnah begins, Chamisha Chumshinein. There are five different cases of chumash that we can discuss. We have to add a fifth. Elohein, they're as follows. Ha'ochel Truma, if a non-Kohen by accident ate a Kohen's Truma, Torah says the non-Kohen has to, of course, pay back the principal, and he does so specifically with non-truma produce, akhulin produce that he already tithed. It's not truma. He gives that to the Kohen, and he has to also give another fifth, utrumas meiser. In addition, if a Levi received his meiser rishon, and then, as the halacha requires, he separated 10% of that for the Kohen, that's called trumas meiser. If a non-Kohen came along and inadvertently ate that, again, as halacha v'chomesh, that he pays in addition to the principal. And the Mishnah says, utrumas meiser shel demai. Even the rabbinic form of trumas meiser called trumas meiser of demai would be subject to the chomesh requirement. As if the non-Kohen ate this rabbinic trumas meiser, he would have to pay the principal plus the chomesh plus a fifth. Demai, as we discussed in previous dafim, refers to produce that was purchased from an amaretz, somebody not particularly versed in halacha, so that we're not certain that he has taken care of the various tithe requirements. So the rabbi said, if you purchase produce from an amaretz, you have to take off the tithes again just in case. So that would mean that the Yisrael would have to take off the Meiser Rishon from the Demai, give that to Levi. The Levi in turn would have to separate 10% for the Kohen for Trumas Meiser. Says the Mishnah, if a non-Kohen ate that, he would have to add a fifth to paying back the principal. Now why doesn't the Mishnah mention Demai of Truma? The answer is because there's no such thing. And that is because, even though the Rabbanan had this concern that regarding the required tithes, the maestros, that maybe Amaratzim were not careful about that. However, even the Amaratzim were always careful about Truma. So there is no halach of demai by Truma. Hence, our Mishnah doesn't discuss it. And then the Mishnah says, it would also be relevant to v'hachala, by the portion of the dough that's given to the Kohen, which has a status of Truma, and v'habikurim, and the first fruits given to the Kohen, again, essentially has a status of Truma, and therefore, if a non-Kohen ate it inadvertently, he pays back the principal, and mosif chomesh, he adds a fifth. Now, all these cases, this whole series, counts as one case for the purpose of our Mishnah's list, and that is because, in all of these cases, the person adds a fifth for the same reason, namely because the Torah calls all of these truma. So therefore, this series counts as one case on the list. The Mishnah continues, V'apodin natarivai maiser sheni shalow. If somebody redeems his natarivai, meaning fruits from tree in their fourth year. We know, of course, that in the first 3 years of fruit trees in Eretz Yisrael, they have a status of Orla. It's totally prohibited. You can't have any benefit from it. But the fourth year, you could benefit from it, but it has the sanctified status of Maaser Sheni, so that you have to take it to Yerushalayim and eat it there, or redeem it. If it's too hard to take all the fruits to Yerushalayim, you can redeem the Nata Rivoy onto money, take the money to Yerushalayim and spend it there. And of course, in Maaser Sheni itself, where of course where the Torah talks about you redeem the Maaser Sheni onto the money and take it to Yerushalayim, if one is redeeming either his Nata Rivoy or Maaser Sheni, and it's his own Nata Rivoy or Maaser Sheni, then the Torah says, Mosif Chomesh. He must add a fifth to the payments. And again, that counts as one case because the halacha of the Chomesh by Nata Rivoy is learned from Maaser Sheni. So they count as one. Mishnah continues, Hapodes Hekadesho. One who wants to redeem a property that he himself had consecrated to the base of Mikdash, Mosif Chomesh. He has to add a fifth. Furthermore, Hanenesh of a Pruta Mina Hegdish, if somebody has benefit, he legally misappropriates from Hegdish, he didn't realize it belonged to the base of Mikdash, the Allah is he pays the principal in Mosif Chomesh, and he adds a fifth. And finally, number five is Ve'agozeles Chaveru, Shavar Pruta, Vinish Balo, if somebody stole from his friend at least a Pruta's worth, and initially he had sworn falsely about it, and then he admits that he wants a kapara, the Torah says the halacha is, pays the principal, and mosif chomesh, and he adds a fifth. There we have the chamisha chumshin. The Gemara begins all discussion which focuses on the case that our Mishnah mentioned of trumas meiser shel demai. Again, we're talking about not regular trumas meiser that the Levi separates from his meiser rishon, rather rabbinic trumas meiser. That is, the only reason the Maaser Rishon was taken off is because the produce was purchased from an Amaretz. So maybe he didn't take off the necessary Maaser Rishon. So in case you do it again and then give it to the Levi, when the Levi separates his portion for the Kohen, that's Trumas Maaser Shel Demai. Says the Mishnah, if a non-Kohen ate that rabbinic Trumas Maaser, he would have to pay a fifth in addition to paying back the principal. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Kasha Leila Rabbi Elazar. Elazar, meaning Rabbi Elazar ben Pidas, the Amora, found this halacha difficult. The Trumas Maaser Shel Demai. The Mishnah says, Rabbinic Trumas Maaser. The rabbi said you have to add a fifth. If a non-Kohen by accident ate some of that, he adds a fifth. Rabbi Elazar found this hard to understand. For he asked, V'chi asu chachamim chizik l'divrayim kishal taira? Is it the way of the rabbis to make an enactment that's on the same level as the Torah itself, to make their laws equal to the Torah's laws? This rabbinic Trumas Maaser of Demai, as if it were the same as regular, you know, biblical Trumas Maaser, regular, you know, real, actual Trumas Maaser min haTorah. Now, the truth is, we find all over that the Rabbanan make decrees which, you know, essentially equates something with rabbinic status to something with biblical status. However, in this particular case, Rabbi Elazar is troubled by it, for the concept of Chomesh to begin with is not like a straightforward, rational kind of a thing. Torah says this scriptural decree that the Tzar, in order to achieve atonement, has to add a Chomesh. Rabbi Elazar finds it surprising that the Rabbanan would come along and mimic the Torah to the extent that they would make their own halacha of Chomesh. He finds it difficult to understand. The Gemara answers, Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. Nachman Amar Shmuel says that the Mishnah here is not going like the mainstream view. It's going according to a specific Tanaic position, Hamani Rabbi Meir. That is the opinion of Rabbi Meir, L'divrayim Kishal Torah, who indeed holds that the Rabbanan will fully make their enactments with the same legal status as halachas of the Torah itself. How do we know that this is Rabbi Meir's view? So he proves it from the following brisa, the Tanya. It says in a brisa, Mevi get mimedina sayam, if an agent brought a get from overseas, it means from outside of Eretz Yisrael, he was bringing a get, divorce document, for a husband to be delivered to this man's wife in Eretz Yisrael. In which case, we learned in the first Mishnah in Gittin that the Rabbanan made an enactment. The rabbi said that when the agent delivers the get, he must say the words, Bifanai Nechtav, Bifanai Nechtam. This get was written and signed in my presence. The reason for that enactment is a big discussion in the beginning of Gittin. The Gemara discusses two possible reasons. Either the concern that people outside of Eretz Yisrael don't necessarily know of the halachas, they don't know, let's say, that the get has to be written Lishma. So the Shliach's statement serves to allay our concerns that really the get was written Lishma. It would be the purpose of the Takana was to preempt the husband, that is, the Shliach's testimony constitutes a verification, official verification of this divorce document, such that it has the full status of testimony. So if the husband were to come in later and say, oh, really, it's not a get, I didn't write this, or make some kind of claim against the get, we wouldn't have to listen to him at all, because this is already a verified, a perfectly fine get, as a full testimony. Either way, the rabbi said that agent bringing a get from Medina Siyam to deliver to the wife has to say these words. The Raisa discusses, what if Nasnu La V'lo Amar La B'Fanei Nechta V'Nei Nechtam, delivered the get and didn't say the magic words, he didn't say, it was written before me and signed before me. Says the Raisa, said very strong words, if this woman went on to use the get to get remarried and she had a child, Yotzi, we would compel her to divorce that new husband, V'Avlad Mamzer, and the child she has in her remarriage would be considered a mamzer, as if it was just a regular case of adultery, where of course the halacha is if an Eishes Ish marries a different man, they have a child, the child is a mamzer, it's not legitimate, he can't marry into the congregation. Divei Rabbi Meir, these are the words of Rabbi Meir. But the Braisa says, V'chachamim omrim ein avlad mamzer. The Chachamim say, no, Vlad is not a mamzer. True, the agent was supposed to do this, be the Rabbanan, but we're not going to invalidate the get to the point that consider her still a married woman and the child's a mamzer. No, we don't say that. We don't go that far. The Braisa explains, Ketzed Yasa, what should be done if the agent didn't do it right? He didn't say those words and gave her the get. So what should be done to rectify the situation? Says the Braisa, Yitlena Mimena, he should simply take the get back from her, V'yachzer V'yitnena La B'fnei Shnayim, and give it back to her. Give it to her again in front of two witnesses, V'yomer La B'fnei Nechta V'fnei Nechta. And this time, do that Nesina, deliver it with the words, say, before me it was written, before me it was signed. And then it'll be okay. Now, let's take a look at this opinion of Rabbi Meir. And the Gemara asks, Ula Rabbi Meir, Mishum de lo amrla v'fanei nechta v'fanei nechtam yotzi v'avlad mamzer? How do we understand this? Just because the agent failed to comply with the rabbinic enactment to say the words v'fanei nechtam v'fanei nechtam, therefore the divorce is totally not valid, and therefore the child with the second man is a mamzer? I, on the Torah level, the get was fine. The Gemara answers, in, yes, that's exactly right. Rabbi Meir, le taimei. Rabbi Meir is consistent here with what he stated elsewhere. The Amr of Amnuna, Mishmei the Ula, Amnuna said in the name of Ula, the Omer, how your Rabbi Meir and Meir would say, Kol mishana mimatbea shetovu chachamim begitin yotzi v'avlad mamzer. Anyone who deviates from the matbea as a coin, like you stamp the coin, it has a specific image. So in other words, when the Rabbanan makes some enactment that the halacha has to be a certain way, in the case of Gittin, and that halacha is not followed, the divorce is not valid, and yotzi v'avlad mamzer, and therefore she has to get divorced, and the child is a mamzer. So we see that, according to Rabbi Meir, the Rabbanan go very far with their enactments. And just like they went very far in the case of a get, like to literally equate their halacha with the Torah's halacha, they did so by Demayish Utrimus Meiser as well, and they said that just like the Torah says, scriptural decree, that you have to add a chomesh if a non-Kohen ate that Trumas Meiser, yes, that a chomesh, so too, if it's rabbinic Trumas Meiser, same halacha will apply, and he has to add a chomesh. But the Gemara now questions this theory. Masiv Rav Sheshes, asks from the following Mishnayos. First of all, we have a Mishnah Mesechtes Demai, so of course it's talking about a case like we described above, where it's rabbinic tithe. As a person bought produce from an Amaretz, so Midrabanan, he had to separate again just in case. So the Mishnah there discusses Meiser Sheni of Demai, and it says the following. Mechalalin oso kesef al kesef. If somebody started out with rabbinic Meiser Sheni, then he had to separate the Meiser Sheni in case, And then he redeemed the actual crops onto money. So now the money has a Maaser Sheni status. Says the Mishnah there, he can redeem it again. He can go from that kesef and transfer the sanctity onto different kesef, different silver coins. Or if he had originally deconsecrated the Maaser Sheni from the crops to copper coins, the Choshes on the Choshes, he can go from those copper coins to different copper coins. Or if he wants kesef on the Choshes, he can even go from silver coins that had that rabbinic Maaser Sheni and go from there to copper coins. And finally, he may even go from copper coins that had the rabbinic Maaser Sheni status of Demai and go from there, deconsecrate that, and put it onto produce, even though he's not yet in Yerushalayim, and therefore he's doing like the opposite of the normal system. Normally the idea is to go from the peres, the produce, onto money. That makes it easier to transfer to Yerushalayim. Yet when it comes to me, the Rabbanon Maaser Sheni, if it's Demai, you're allowed, if you have some reason to do so, you can go from the copper coins to the produce. But the Mishnah adds, if you do so, v'yachzer v'yiftes haperos. You can't leave it in that state. If you need to do so temporarily, fine. But before you actually make your trip to Yerushalayim, you got to put that sanctity onto coins. Divrei Rabbi Meir, these are the words of Rabbi Meir. Chachamim Amar, and the Chachamim say, though, that even that's not necessary. If you chose to go from coins and put the rabbinic Maaser Sheni from them onto produce, you can take the produce to Yerushalayim immediately there. That's fine. That's what the Mishnah says regarding Demai Shal Maaser Sheni. The Gemara has a question. Is this true? Is one allowed to transfer Maaser Sheni status from silver to copper coins? It says in the Mishnah Masechtas Maaser Sheni. So here we're talking about regular biblical Maaser Sheni. Says the Mishnah there, Sela shall Maaser Sheni v'shal chulin shenis arvu. Let's say somebody had two coins. One coin is a Maaser Sheni coin, meaning he'd used it to redeem his Maaser Sheni crops. The other coin was a regular chulin, non-holy coin. They got mixed together. He doesn't know which one is which. What should he do in this case? Says the Mishnah, Mevi b'sela mos. He should bring a sela's worth of mos coins. Mos are copper coins. Bring a sela's worth of those coins. V'yomer, should say the following. Kol makam sheyeshna sela shel Maaser Sheni mechulelas mos alolam. Whichever of these two silver sela coins is the Maaser Sheni one, its sanctity should be transferred onto these mos coins. Then the Mishnah says he has to put that sanctity back on one of the sela coins. And uvarer es hayafe shebahen machal olam. He chooses the better of the two, as the one that has less, you know, erosion, and should be machal olam from the mos coins, the copper coins, back onto that silver sela coin. The Mishnah explains, continuing to nivavam et aleph. Why do you have to go back to the sela coin? Just leave the sanctity of Maaser Sheni on the copper coins. Once he did that, the Mishnah explains, mipnei sheomru machalino so kesef on the choshes midochek. So the rabbis only permitted this when it's absolutely necessary, when there's a pressing need. Like in this case, where you have the problem that, you know, you mixed up these two coins. You don't know which one of the sela coins is the Maaser Sheni one. But lo shiakayim kain, the rabbis didn't allow us to do this, to leave it in this state. Rather, the proper thing is to put that Maaser Sheni status back onto one of the silver coins. So the Gemara points out, ketani mihas mechalin midochik. What does the Mishnah say in this last line? They only allow you, if you really need it, it's an emergency, then you could be mechalel the Maaser Sheni from the silver coin to copper coin. So clearly, midochik in. If it's a real pressing need, then yes, you could do it. Shalom midochik lo. But without a particularly pressing need, you're not allowed to do this. You can't go from kesef to nechoshes. And yet, the Mishnah above, from Sechtes Demai, said by Maaser Sheni shel Demai, you could do exactly that. You can go from kesef to nechoshes. So it appears to be a contradiction. And recall that Rabbi Meir himself was the author of that halacha in the first Mishnah. Everybody agrees with this other Mishnah, Maaser Sheni. So what do we have to say? We have to say that there's a difference between the rabbinic enactment of Maaser Sheni and actual Minat Torah Maaser Sheni. And meaning that even though minat Torah by Maaser Sheni, we see that normally you're not allowed to transfer from kesefs and nechoshes, but by the Rabbanan Maaser Sheni, the my Maaser Sheni, it's fine. So it seems to refute Shmuel's theory that according to Rabbi Meir, no, they're asu chizik kishal Torah, they made their halacha the same as the Torah. We see that's not true. And so Rabbi Lazar's question would return of how does it make sense that the rabbis, you know, literally made their Trumas Meiser like Minotaur Trumas Meiser and required the addition of V'chomesh if a non-Kohen ate it? How could the rabbis go so far? We can't blame it on Rabbi Meir. We see Rabbi Meir agrees that the rabbis don't go that far. The Gemara answers, Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef answers, he defends, you know, Shmuel's answer by saying, Afal pi shemekel Rabbi Meir bipidyono, even though you, Rav Sheshes, have proven that Rabbi Meir is lenient when it comes to the rules of redemption of Rabbinic Maaser Sheni. However, machmir hu ba'achilaso. There's a distinction here between this case of pidyon and the case that our Mishnah deals with, i.e. of a non-Kohen who eats this rabbinic Trumas Meiser. We're talking here about an actual prohibition. He went ahead and ate the rabbinic Trumas Meiser. So since it involves an actual prohibition here, he went and ate something which he wasn't supposed to, regarding that type of halacha, we can stick with Shmuel's theory that according to Rabbi Meir, their halacha the same strength as the Torah. And therefore the rabbi said that just like Minat Torah, halacha is, if a czar eats Trumas Meiser, he has to add a fifth when he pays back, so too by and Trumas Meiser shall demai, even though it's rabbinic Trumas Meiser, the rabbis gave it the same strength, and they said that if a non-Kohen eats it by accident, he has to add a fifth when he pays back.
You've been listening to RealClearDaf.com. Visit us online for resources or to dedicate a shiur. To speak with Rabbi Wise, call 855-ASK-RCD-1. That's 855-275-7231.